This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. It's a country morning here on the Red River Farm Network as we are coming to you from the Red River Partners Summer Tour. We're talking water this morning, more to come as we take a look at issues affecting your watershed and more. A big tour that's been taking place in the Grand Forks area today. But of course, we've got to start out with markets. What's happening on that screen, Randy? Good morning. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Again, on the road this morning, we're going to have more on that in just a moment. But first of all, just to note, the Pro Farmer Crop Tour wrapping up today. Both legs of that tour ending the day in Rochester, Minnesota. Crop scouts in Western Iowa describing that crop as average at best. For the eastern portion of the tour, Pro Farmer estimating the Illinois corn crop at just under 191 bushels per acre, down 5 bushels from last year, but above the 3-year average. Pod counts down slightly from last year in Illinois, but above the long-term average. Again, we are on the road this morning, the Red River Partners Summer Tour. With us this morning from the Red River Watershed Management Board is Rob Sipp. And Rob, tell us about this tour. It really is kind of an unusual thing where you're bringing together a lot of folks involved in the area of water management all into one session.
Exactly. We had about 7 partners came together, and a lot of planning came together. And so yesterday we had a big tour. We kind of went all over northwest Minnesota and a couple sites in North Dakota, and had about 105 people that attended, and just had a lot of great partnership and conversation and communication on flood control and water quality and how we can all work together.
Working together is the key. It's that coordination you have to have all the time. It's great to have that in a summer tour. We're going to be thinking legislative session in the not too distant future, 2023 legislative session. Give me an idea from your perspective. What are some of the legislative priorities going into next year?
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that we just got done with the last session and now we have to start all over again. But so we'll be really focusing on bonding for flood control projects. That'll be one of the biggest issues, is trying to obtain some state money for flood projects that we have in the works. So we're looking for about $50 million from the state of Minnesota to wrap up about 100,000 acre feet of water storage on our side of the river. And that's for about 8 flood projects.
I find it interesting when you take a look at taxing across the government. It's very rare we see taxes go down, but that has been a situation with the watershed.
Yeah, right. So about 4 years ago, the Red Board lowered its tax from 100% down to 75%. So we've been able to kind of keep it at 75% and make sure that we're leveraging those dollars. And so typically we can do about 50% of a flood project with our member watershed districts, and then the other half we look at the state of Minnesota for that funding. So yeah, keeping that tax low is a good thing.
No doubt about it. Once again, Rob Sipp with us from the Red River Watershed Management Board. We're going to be talking with some of the folks from the Minnesota Association of Watershed Districts, if we could, in just a moment. But just one more quick headline this morning. We had that soybean crush facility in Castleton breaking ground yesterday. Sierra Doctor was there and has this update.
Consolidated Grain and Barge General Manager of Market Development, Eric Cressine, says adding a soy crush facility increases the basis for local farmers.
By the farmers being able to sell their soybeans and having the soybeans crushed right here in Castleton, there'll be a basis increase that will go to the farmers versus the soybeans, the raw soybeans having to go by rail car out to the PNW and then sold around the world. So there'll be a basis increase for those farmers to grow their soybeans and sell their soybeans right here in Castleton.
Christine says the soy crush facility could increase value-added ag in the area.
Is there an opportunity for livestock? I would hope so in the future. I mean, it's just more value-added agriculture. So being able to raise your own livestock right here that you can in turn turn into meat and not have to import that meat or from another state or another region is just better for the ag community and for the citizens that are buying that product.
The soy crush facility is on track to be up and running by the summer of 2024. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Thanks, Sierra. Interest rates top of mind for the markets right now. The Federal Reserve Board of Governors meeting for the first time for their annual conference since 2019. Fed Chair Jerome Powell will be providing insight into monetary policy at that Jackson Hole, Wyoming event later today. All eyes on that. in the trade. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum proposing a switch from state individual income tax rates with a lower flat rate. That plan will be considered during the 2023 legislative session. That announcement coming yesterday in North Dakota. And also in the news this morning, Vietnam temporarily suspending the use of an African swine fever vaccine. That decision made after a small number of pigs died after getting that shot. Vietnam, the first country to commercially produce a vaccine for ASF. Again, on the road this morning, the Red River Partners Summer Tour. We're talking water this morning here on the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. On the road this morning, it is time to talk water, as we've got seven organizations all coming together the past couple days for a summer tour. With us right now, Linda Vavra. Again, she is the chair of the president of the Minnesota Association of Watershed Districts, also is a manager of the Red River Watershed Management Board. Linda, let's talk Southern Valley. We always get interested in some of the projects. I know the Boyd Assoot project has been one that's we're starting to move dirt on. Can you give us kind of an update and what kind of things we're looking at?
Sure. I can tell you real quick here. We've got a couple projects going. One is for clean water, and that's on the Lake Traverse area. And that is moving really good. There's three, and we have the first two phases already completed, and we are starting on the third phase. This has had a lot of landowner support. This is a project that the landowners themselves have been trying to gather money to do for the last 60 years, and we finally put it all together. And so that's very exciting. It's a clean water project, so it's going to help hold a lot of sediment back out of Lake Traverse. And of course, Lake Traverse drains on down to the Red River of the North. So that's our water quality project. We're also building a big impoundment on alongside of the Mustinka River. And that is going to do it's a two-phase job. What it's going to do is it's going to hold back water for water retention. But it will also clean the water because it's going to have 5 miles of meander channel replaced on the Mustinka River. Pretty exciting.
Great to see you again. Talking water here, I'm going to bring in Linda Buck as well, Executive Director of the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. I need a longer arm here. Let's talk a little bit about your priorities for the association as we go forward here in the remainder of this year and moving into next.
Sure. Hi, Don. Good morning. Yeah, for our Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, we primarily work with that landowner on smaller projects, and we're working to meet their resource needs. So for us, is what we're seeing as a trend statewide especially, and also what we see coming from the federal level, is a lot of interest in soil health practices. So for, you know, landowners want to do conservation, and they're coming into our offices, and they're looking for what can I do in terms of, I kind of think of it like continuous improvement. So we've got everything from cover crops, drip till. That is really a lot of the work that we're doing is just trying to look at the soil health activities out there. Water quality, obviously, the legislature, the public asks us to do those things, and we do it in a voluntary way. So we really want to keep it at a voluntary level. So we are strong on the advocacy for voluntary conservation.
So talk to me about the role of really the technical assistance that is provided to that landowner.
Well, in many cases, we're co-located with our federal partner, the USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service. So many times a landowner is probably walking into office, may not know the difference. And we like it that way because we're trying to complement what the federal level is doing and what we can do locally. So what we're seeing is, we've got the soil health issues, but we're also looking at a lot of water quality efforts too. So sometimes there are those small engineered practices. It could be waterways, just trying to keep up with, you know, managing those efforts. But what we are seeing too is I think what's coming to us, and many of us still have questions, all of us, both in the public and private sector, is these ecosystem service efforts. So you see a big push now that's coming on carbon and storing carbon. And we're trying to figure out what does that mean for both the private landowner and the public service too that we provide. So there's a lot of push on carbon efforts.
Yeah, this whole focus on climate, it's never been a part of our conversation like it is today.
Oh, it's truly been elevated. And I kind of think of it, what I tell my folks, and they know it too, is what's old is new again. And so if there is a niche for climate, we see it as that voluntary. Again, it's nothing that we're trying to regulate with the landowners, but also what are those opportunities? Maybe they might get paid from a private sector for some of this carbon storage. But what are those activities? They're the slate of projects that we've been working on all along. Again, cover crops, maybe different tillage practices or enhancing those. It could be capturing the soil through maybe it's, you know, temporary cover. We kind of lump our stuff into working lands and land protection activities. And so sometimes the landowner is just like, hey, it's time to put maybe an easement or a long-term, you know, we work closely with the CRP program. So a lot of what I say is what people might call climate, I call conservation.
Exactly right. Like you said, what is old is new again, as we come to you from the Red River Partners Summer Tour, all talking water this morning. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. We're on the road this morning. It is, again, the Red River Partners Summer Tour. We've got about seven different watershed groups, water management groups, all coming together for a tour the past few days here in the Grand Forks area, learning a whole lot. Paul Krabenoff is with us, president of the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts out of that Moorhead area. Paul, let's talk about that coordination really between the conservation districts and the watershed districts themselves.
Hi. Yes, we've had coordination. We've worked together both between water districts and soil and water districts for many, many years, and this relationship is ongoing. The SWCDs tend to work, well, they work with voluntarily with private landowners, and of course, the watershed districts work on drainage ways. And many times we get grants together to enhance or restore old projects or even onto new projects to avoid for better water quality, to get rid of erosion, you know, gully washing, that type of thing.
And it's really important to have that focus on from a watershed perspective, correct?
Correct. Yep. It's always toward you know, the drainage for flood protection, perhaps retention, and then again, what's on the land around it, on the private land. So work with the farmers, their farm practices, and whatnot to hold soil in place and keep the nutrients from going into our waterways so that we have clean water.
Good deal. Again, these groups wrapping up their meetings today. Days of tours here in the Grand Forks area and beyond. Again, the Red River Partners, a lot of groups all coming together for their summer tour here this week here in the Grand Forks area. With that, Randy, let's turn back to markets. What's the screen telling us this morning?
Remaining mixed here this morning. September wheat Minneapolis is a penny and a half higher right now, 9.09 1/4. December 2 1/4 higher at 9.22. Chicago September wheat is down 7. Kansas City September wheat down 2 1/4. September corn trading 7 cents higher at 6.72 3/4. December is 7 1/2 higher, 6.64 3/4. September soybeans trading 5 1/4 cents higher at 15.66. November soybeans are 0.25 cents higher at 14.57 1/4. Canola is under a bit of pressure here. We're down $13.40 a metric ton at $830.20 Canadian. On the farm calendar, the Soil and Water Conservation District's meeting, that's the Water Summit, continues through today in the Grand Forks region. We also have the Northern Plains Potato Growers Field Day is today as well. That kicks off this morning at the Hoverson Farms at Larimore. Breakfast getting underway here at 7 o'clock this morning. Moves on to Inkster for the noon lunch at the Forest River Colony, with field tours beginning at 1:30, and then they wrap up this evening, 5:30 evening, with a barbecue at Hoople at the Oberg Farms. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Thursday. This is the Red River Farm Network.